involved in the Evans Road widening project. Were you involved in that controversy as well?
Well, yes and no. I've been involved in it. The only thing that I can say about it is, in this nation, we've set up a monetary system. And a penny is a penny, a dime a dime, $50 is $50, and $100 is $100. It is the same for every individual throughout this country. That is the one uniformity of things. And this country has a tendency for bartering, negotiating. And when you negotiate with an inferior partner, it flat out tells you in numbers, your day is numbered when you don't do it right. And you know, we see these town councils, they come and they go, and the members fall, and the mayors leave, and the town council managers leave. And when you got something that's good and you love it, you don't generally leave. And so I think they're experiencing pressures for some of the things that they do to people. I've noticed in developing things that I have to do sometimes that the next guy didn't do. Like, for instance, if I'm building a subdivision, I have to give access to the next guy. Well, I've had subdivisions where I wasn't given access from the previous guy. And, you know, and still, you know, we still have the infallibility of being human. Everybody makes mistakes. We deal with architects all the time, and sometimes we say, my gracious, these plans are awful. And sometimes the strictest of people make it for the best of situations. But what we have to do is, we can't make it the best situation without being fair. And you can make the strictest of rules and follow it to the letter and negotiate the absolute best. And all of this has been to your benefit, but you cannot continue to treat your fellow man without fairness, because death is chasing you all the time. You have to be fair. And I think in Kerry sometimes there hasn't been fairness. I mean, you know, you can see it. I purchased equipment from a company called Angletea. But at any rate, in doing that, I have seen my father go and give these people money and go and drink at the second water fountain. I have seen the people that work for the company go to the second water fountain. I've seen that. And that's just not right. I think there's always going to be prejudice. You can take a pair of twins. When one of them loses his hand, there's prejudice. No matter how good, how fair, how honest, best of integrity, there's always going to be the disparity. Everybody's going to pick on the fat guy. Everybody's going to pick on the skinny guy. Everybody's going to pick on the guy that's losing his hair. There's always going to be some form of prejudice. Except in one time, that eternal time. And the eternal time, I tell you, I've told my wife, if I wasn't afraid of leaving here on my own, I would go to the eternal time and be happy to be there. Well, I think I see it going up.
Well, like, this was wonderful. We so appreciate all that you've taken your time and helped us. You gave me a lot of good information that I really value. And we will put it to good use. So
in this Evans Road Widening,
uh-huh.
the compensation is all over everywhere. I mean, you can't find continuity in it anywhere. And not only that, it's a secret. City Carry, we will not divulge anything about anything. This particular transaction, it is secret. I was doing a job one time for a local contractor. And I walked in and he says, "Herb, if you help me on this one, I'm in really bad shape and I need to do this work. And I just can't get to it, and we're running behind, and we're going to get into liquidated damages." And he took out his spec book with all his prices in it and said, "This is what I'll give you for it." And he stuck it in the copier and handed me the whole thing. And I said, "Well, you know, I can do it for this. You know, my budget and my expenses and my overhead is, you know, and I was doing the work myself, you know." So in doing that, I went up there and proceeded with the work. And I got it done on time, accurately, and good. And I decided I'd run up to the City of Cary and check on the prices. So I took my sheet of paper and I went up and says, "I'm doing this job and I would like to check on these prices." And the technician says, "Herb, I can't give you these prices. You're working for so-and-so and so. I can't give them to you." And I said, "Well, I understand." I said, "But let me make something that clear to myself. Is you're telling me that you can't give me a copy of public information?" And you know what she said? "Let me talk to my boss." So she says, come back and says, "Yes, I can give you this." And she says, "It's 25 cents a page and it's 500 and some pages." And that's, I said, "That is great. I like page 489 and here's the quote." And she gave it to me. And I took back the contract and I said to myself, it did give me all that was in it, in all the categories that I worked on except this one. And the particular contractor paid me $25,000 to do the job, and he had $25,000 in the contract to move his equipment around on the job. So he had $50,000 in the job. At any rate, I didn't get the second $25,000. I did get the first one, and we are friends to the day. And the only problem that I have with this particular contractor is the money. He will not. He is the TW of TWs. He is the king TW type art. He is type. But nevertheless, you know, if he would call me this day and say, "Herbert, I need your help," I would get up from my dinner table on Thanksgiving or Christmas Day and go get him. And I think he would do it for me. But he's just tight on his money. And he just worked a good deal, negotiated a good deal. But I didn't have all the playing cards. Yeah. But nevertheless.
Yeah. Well, you've had a long and illustrious career in Cary,
Yeah. I've been here all my life. I got out of college. I taught school in New York for a year.
Oh, did you?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was making $4,800 a year. At any rate, I just could not make a living out of state. And so I came back home and I did a job for my dad downtown Raleigh on DeBoy Street. And the ditch was about 30 feet deep, 28 feet deep, something like that. We had to move the dirt off the top so we could get down. The equipment wouldn't even reach where we had to work. At the end of that job, he says, "Would you like to be in business?" I said, "Yes." And I've been here ever since. He gave me every piece of equipment on that job, and I got the payments of that that wasn't paid for. And I've had my ups and downs, and this time is probably the worst thing I've ever seen.
This economic downturn?
Yep.
Yeah. Scary.
I've seen my net financial wealth drop. Say from like, it was an 8, I'm down to a 3. Yeah. So I don't know what that five points drop amounts to in terms of percentages.
It's a lot.
Yep, and this has been since August of 06. So that's 6 to 7 would be a year, and 7 to 8 would be a year, and this August would be 3 years.
Wow.
And it is tough. It is tough as I have ever seen. I did a job, and I did it for $29 a foot. And the second job, just like the first job, I did it for $15 a foot. That's just about 100% decrease in price. And the third job, I refused to do it, and it was to be at $8 a foot. And somebody did it for the $8.
Wow.
Would you like a Coke? Would you like some water?
No, I'm fine. Well, let's just wrap this up. Thank you again so much. This was fantastic. And you were very helpful to me and to the town. So we really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. One more story.
Okay, good.
One morning, I said, Dad, where are you going today? He said, I'm going to NC State University to work. He says, and I really don't want to go. He says, I've been there 4 months, and I got 4 months to go. I said, what are you doing? He says, I'm digging a ditch. I said, well, how deep is it? He said, I don't know. Sometimes it gets deep, but I can tell you, I have to throw the dirt 3 times before I can throw the dirt out of the ditch. So he had to dig the ditch 3 times. And I said, well, how long is the ditch? He said, it's from NC State University to Cameron Village.
Wow.
Took him 8 months to dig it. I'm picking the shovel.
By hand?
By hand.
Good Lord.
I said, well, Dad, why don't you not do that? He said, son, I got 5 kids. My dad was an illegitimate child. His dad was quite a judge out of Wilmington. And he experienced prejudice to the nth degree. He grew up where his family didn't like him. His dad took him and raised him to his street and found out he was half white, half black, and they ran him away.
Did he go back to his mother then?
His mother died when he was 9. And so he was raised by aunts and uncles.
Which side of the family? The father's or his mother's side?
The mother's side. That's where it moved, the ones that raised him. He was raised by his dad until he was about, he was in third grade, 9 years old. So at 9 he died, his mother died, and at 9 they sent him home.
So now where was he? He was living in Wilmington?
He was in Payson.
In Fayetteville?
Payson.
Oh, Payson.
Yeah.
Okay. And then with aunts and uncles, where was he living?
In Payson.
Oh, same.
Yeah, same Payson, yeah. Okay. One other thing that's really interesting is my dad is probably one of the most intelligent men that I have ever met. And he had a drive that was stronger than a locomotive coming downhill with a full load. He was relentless. I mean, he was unbelievably relentless. And he had a vacation house at the coast on the primary black island. At any rate, we used to stop in Wilmington. And I was a full-grown adult before I found out that my dad's brother was the one he was stopping to see every so often. And my dad never spoke of his dad's family. I mean, you get little inklings in passing through. But, he went to white schools until he was 9.
He did?
Yeah. So, first through third grade, he went to white schools.
And then when he went to live with aunts and uncles, then he went to segregated schools?
Yeah, he went to segregated. You know, that's where I really don't know. My father never talked about his family. And I think I got to meet my grandfather once or twice. And my grandfather twice called my dad up, and this is in my very young years, and so I don't know that much about it, but gave him a Cadillac. Two times. One time the Cadillac had been wrecked and my dad repaired it, and the other time the Cadillac hadn't been wrecked.
Huh?
Yeah. But I've been to my granddad's house once or twice, and I remember once, because it had a white picket fence that we drove upside of.
So he acknowledged his son, in touch.
Yeah. My dad stayed in touch. Nobody else. I'm the only one that's ever been there. Or the only one that's ever heard anything about him to really bring back the memories. Really unusual.
Yeah. And so he was really prejudiced against. He had a lot of hard times.
My dad said he had seen the turn that he would have to steal fat back out of the frying pan at home to eat.
So they wouldn't feed him?
Yeah. But he was always a hustler now. He was an
entrepreneur.
He had to. He was a survivor.
Yeah.
I mean, I tell you something else my dad has said. He said, this, and I don't know I don't know what grade he went to. But, he said he taught rifle marksmanship, camouflage, and demolition in the Navy, or he either, maybe he taught, not Navy, Army. And he said he either taught it or he was a product of it. I don't remember. And he didn't talk about his Army career in either. But I don't know what my point was now.
So he was in the service and it was during World War II?
Yeah. And he had asthma, and so they turned him loose. But nevertheless, I don't know where I was going with that. I was going to tell you a story, but I can't remember now. But my dad, he was hustling. Lord knows he was hustling. He was smart. I've never seen any uneducated man write as well he does with continuity of thought. I've seen some of the documents that he'd written over the years. You know, he's mad with his wife or his son or his family or an individual, and he'd write him a letter, and he'd read the letter. You know, you discover the document and read it. He's gone now. But, I know what I was going to tell you. He says, you know, I have six college educations. And the first time he said that, and he said it a lot, but the first time he said it, I could not understand. He says, I've been to college six times, and I didn't finish but the third grade. At any rate, I said, what are you talking about? Well, the year that I graduated from high school, which was on a Saturday, my mother graduated from college on Friday. And so off to college I went, and I finished. And the four of them behind me went off to college and finished. And we were the first college educated Clyde Evans children.
That's fabulous.
That's unbelievable.
That's really great.
The pinnacle of my college thing was we took the National Teachers Exam. And the highest score that was made, I think, was 1,400. And only 11 people made above 1,100. And I made 1,183.
Fantastic.
So I figured I was in the top of the 11. And I hated teaching.
Now, what grade were you teaching? What were you teaching?
I taught junior high and senior high.
Okay. Didn't like it, huh?
Didn't like it.
No.
And I said I went to New York for a year. I didn't go to New York for a year. I went to D.C. for half a year, and I finished the year in New York. I went to D.C., and it was a, this was a time of integration, but the school was 95% black. And in the time frame in which I was there, there were 57 teachers, 54 teachers. And by January, 27 had quit.
Why?
The school was so rough.
Wow.
The kids were rough. Poverty. Probably 60% of the kids or 70% of the kids didn't have but one parent. It's a brand new school the day that I walked in. And by January, every window on the first two floors had been replaced.
Wow.
There was one teacher that was sent to the hospital. And I said, this is not for me. I was a country boy, didn't know nothing about fighting, didn't know nothing about drugs. The first time I seen marijuana twice in my whole life. And the first time I saw it, the prettiest girl in the whole country had it. And it scared me to death, and I run. Scared me to death, and I run. And I've never smoked a joint of marijuana or any illegal drugs. And I don't smoke cigarettes now. I had my share of Budweiser beers. But one time when I was about 26, came to work for my dad one Monday morning, and he said, son, you have a good time this weekend? I said, yep. This was January, first day after the first that we worked. He said, yep. I said, I had a good time. He says, I want you to stop drinking. I said, you think I can't? He says, you can't. I said, I can't. He said, well, quit. And then about May, get you a case and drink as many as you want. So with that meeting, on that first day of work after 2 years, I've never had one since. That was 72.
You never went out and got that case?
Never, no. One thing that I am a firm believer, if you say you're going to do something, do it. And if you do it and then change, you didn't do what you said. So, and you, if you're going to start drinking, you have to stop. You can't start back up. You have to stop. And I stopped. And I didn't drink for about 3 years. I did not start drinking until I was about 20, 22, 21. Peer pressure in college. Never had a drink or anything. No alcohol, no wine. I can proudly say none of my children have ever seen me drunk, intoxicated, disabled in any way, shape, form, or fashion. They've never seen me take a drink of alcohol or any kind.
Now, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three. And where do they go to school?
The oldest went to NC State University until she just said that I don't have an identity here, so she finished North Carolina Central. The second one went to NC State University, and he finished. And he finished with right close to a 3.1 average the first time. And then he came to work for me, and about 6 months or something like that, he said, Dad, I would like to go back to school and get a degree in business. And I said, well, just have at it. And so he finished the second time in a year. Picked up a 7 BS in business. The first time he finished in zoology, and that's everything that you can't spell. He ain't never seen the word before, and it's microscopic. So he was going to be a vet, and he got to dealing with the blood, and he didn't like it. But at any rate, he finished that, and he's my CEO now.
So you work together.
We work together. First said all the time, don't give him any slack.
Yeah.
But he's doing an excellent job.
Oh, that's great.
And I'm primarily a ditch digger. That's what I tell everybody I am. I am a ditch digger. My goal in life is always to put in 1 foot more than I did on the last time where I put in the most. Success is measured by change. And if you can't change it, you're not succeeding.
So now your children, when they were in the primary grades, were the schools desegregated by that time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm 63, and the schools were desegregated 2 years after I finished.
Oh, okay.
And then they also shut down my school the second year after I finished.
For Barry O'Kelly?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So you were one of the last classes out of Barry O'Kelly.
Yeah, I was the third class from the last one.
Wow. So your kids, did they go to school in Cary?
They went to school in Cary, all at Cary High and even over here at West Cary. Oh, and the baby girl, she went to NC State, and she just defies all odds.
She defies all odds?
Yeah, she didn't finish. She joined the Army, and wow. She's been going ever since.
Wow. Is she seeing service in... Any wars?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's good.
So I think she's pretty soon to get out. I think it's this year. But anyway, whatever it is, I don't know.
But so your children only went to integrated schools.
Yeah.
Did they have a hard time? Did they come up with long stories?
There's a difference. I mean, I've often... I don't understand integration and segregation and stuff like that because I've only ever seen but one side of it. But I have come to realize in time that I've never seen a pack of animals with two species in them. That's not to say humans are two species. I'm only indicating that there's a difference. They're animals, but they're different. So you don't see a pack of dogs and cats running together. Or a pack of bear and goats, or a pack of sheep and dogs, or wolves, I figure that's going to probably be segregation forever. I still see that it gets down to the minute things. The twins that have one hand missing on one individual makes a difference. So, we don't have but one commonality on this planet, or two maybe. We got to live on the planet, and we got the same God. And the thing that makes people really more on the earthly basis common is the money. Once you have $10, and I have $10, standing in front of that counter, that make any difference. Your 10 is good as my 10. There's been a whole lot of successful black people, and I believe that you can be successful. You just got to... See, there was rumored that there was this white guy retired from the Army, and he was having a tough time, but he drove a Nissan pickup. You'd see him around. I mean, you'd see him here, and then 5 hours later, you'd see him 2 miles up the road, same Nissan pickup, and he's still walking. From what I understand, he got it for income tax evasion, and he was picking up beer cans. Succeed. You can succeed. And I have no problem with standing on the corner bed, working at McDonald's, and I was shoveling the stuff people thought, oh, I always talk about shoveling, that people don't want to shovel. I don't have a problem. Do what it takes. I'm going to try not to steal. I'm human. I go to the bank, they give me a pencil to sign, and I walk out with it all the time. But, people are people, and there's always going to be differences. What we need to strive to do is make them even. And, the closest thing that we'll ever do to come even is look alike. And that's going to be hard to do. But it's even coming. I'm a product of all of that. So I don't know. My wife tells me I got weird thoughts about stuff.
She doesn't agree with you on all of this?
Oh, she doesn't agree with me probably on about maybe. We probably agree about 50%, but that's 50% is where we are 100 miles apart. We argue all the time. My wife is like, if you give me $10, if I give her $10, her idea is to spend it. If I give her, if she gives me $10, my idea is to keep part of that. Part of it. Yep. But, you know, and I like to think also I'm a gambler. But what I like to do is gamble, not with money, but with them and this. I can do that.
Your hands and your head.
Hands and head. You can gamble with them. You take your head and pick the task, and then you take one that you think that your hands can handle it. And then you take the mind and do the rest. Yeah. I like to figure things. Study it. Study it. I did a job one time where we had to go through a massive amount of concrete to get two pipe into the building. So I studied the job, found out that there were probably no restrictions, and the contract called for you tearing out all the concrete, putting the pipe in, and then putting it back. I took and bored me two holes underneath the building, past all the concrete.
See what underneath the concrete?
Yeah, turned right up in the building. And the job probably paid about, in fact, it paid $17,000, and I did it in 2 hours.
Wow, good money.
Everybody bid it what it looked like. I bid it like what I could figure. And I like to figure. I made little things, this and that, the other. I made a scooter one time, did a ride down a pipe difficult to crawl through. I made a little scooter to go down the pipe, put a rope on it on both ends, went down the pipe, loaded up the scooter with dirt, and had them to pull me back out. Till we finally got all the dirt out of it. Little things that make the difference.
That's fantastic. So, well, again, thank you so much. This was fantastic.